Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal court has blocked most of the tariffs that President Trump imposed under an emergency powers law. The three-judge Court of International Trade ruling that the tariffs far exceed Trump's authority, the White House is appealing. The richest man in the world is no longer a part of the Trump government.
Elon Musk leaving the Trump administration after pushing back on President Trump's latest signature legislation, a multi-trillion dollar spending package that the tech mogul says contradicts their own goal of the Department of Government Efficiency, reducing the federal government size.
ABC's Zorin Shaw. The Trump government says it will move to revoke the visas of students with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, but does not go into detail explaining what those ties are or how that's being proven. The search still on in Arkansas for Grant Hardin, the police chief turned rapist and murderer who last Sunday walked out of prison. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. History is being made at Max. The streamer just renewed the show Hacks for a fifth season. The show starring Gene Smart is a critic's darling, having won a total of 8 Emmy Awards. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the renewal for season 5 makes it the longest live-action running show in Max history, which is really impressive given that the streamer has only been around for 2 years as Max. Not sure how that adds up. Producers of the show announced the fifth season Tuesday night, just 2 days before the finale for season 4. To say actors need thick skin in the entertainment racket would be an understatement. Kathy Bates recently told Vanity Fair she really wanted the role of Frankie in the 1991 film Frankie and Johnny because she had originated the role on Broadway. Her dreams, however, were crushed when producer Gary Marshall told Bates that the idea of her kissing a man on screen was not what people wanted to see. Why are people the way they are? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers are on a roll. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game series on the road tomorrow night against the Phillies, the team with the best record in the National League. But Milwaukee's on a roll. They swept the Red Sox with a dramatic 6-5 win yesterday, thanks to Caleb Durbin driving in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th.
We're scrapping and we're battling, and you've seen it this whole series, but especially the last two games going into extra innings. Like, you could feel that we never thought we were going to lose.
Golf, the U.S. Women's Open underway in Wisconsin at Erin Hills. NFL, the Packers announced training camp begins July 23rd with family night Saturday, August 2nd. Quarterback Jordan Love asked, how much did that MCL sprain in his left knee affect him last season?
I mean, there might be some things here and there that might have been affected by the injury, but I'm never going to, you know, put anything on an injury. You know, I'm going out there, and if I'm healthy enough to go, you know, I'm trying to give my best and be the best player I can be out there, and I always hold myself to a high standard.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad-looking Thursday with partly sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s. A spotty shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. For tonight, mostly clear skies with a low near 53. Warmer on Friday with lots of sunshine, a high of 81. Currently, it's 52.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joins us to talk about the state budget going through joint finance and another compelling edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Waking up with temperatures right around 50 degrees for most of the state of Wisconsin. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. Glad to have you along. Weather-wise today, it looks like we're going to stay fairly dry. If any showers develop, it's probably going to happen this afternoon. Could see some patchy fog this morning, though. Daytime highs today, probably around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, another chance of rain, probably in the afternoon. Otherwise, a sunny Friday on the way, 79. Saturday, another chance of showers in the morning. Otherwise, sunny and 77. And the same goes for Sunday. Sunny skies, 79 degrees. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, of course, has weather details about 15 minutes down the road. Got to remind you, our friends from EverAg are joining us this morning. Ryan Yonkman will be our guest. Next week, changes to the federal milk marketing order go into effect, and that could impact how Wisconsin dairy farmers get paid. What's the market talking about? We're going to find out this morning with Ryan joining us. And, you know, the school year is coming to a close pretty quick, but some of the programs that happen within those schools are incredibly important to their community. Charity Seebecker is going to take us to the Menominee Indian Reservation, where one of the school programs is really a staple of what the community leans on for food during the summer. It's all on the way.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
In just a few weeks, you can join John Deere collectors from across the United States and Canada here in Wisconsin at the Classic Green Reunion. It's happening June 12th through the 14th at the Washington County Fair Park and Conference Center in West Bend. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and this event really has everything for the family. We're talking more than 1,000 exhibits of tractors, implements, toys, and memorabilia. And there's more in store than just exhibits. The Classic Green Reunion will feature Wisconsin heritage around every corner. Event co-chair Dan Gooden joins us from Athens with some of the details. He's been a John Deere collector most of his life. And like many other John Deere enthusiasts, green has been his choice since he was young.
Definitely. Growing up, unfortunately, we weren't able to farm with John Deere tractors. And my dad always told me, they were the best, and later on, we've come with John Deere tractors on our farm, and it's been everything's been green ever since. And I've been collecting since I've been 15 years old.
Wow! So you have your own collection?
Yeah, we started out collecting toys and moved to tractors. We collect John Deere snowmobiles, John Deere lawnmowers, John Deere memorabilia. Pretty much, if John Deere was involved with it, I'm interested in it, and we are actively collecting, yes.
I have a similar childhood experience. My dad was a John Deere fanatic, so we did all of our field work with Johnny Poppers.
Yeah.
Fun memories with green tractors. But, Dan, your passion extends even further, and you are on the committee for planning the Classic Green Reunion that's coming to Wisconsin. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's going to be a show featuring not just tractors and equipment. We feature John Deere industrial equipment, lawn and garden, snowmobiles, toys and toy displays, memorabilia displays. We're going to have demonstrations, including corn shelling, grain binding, threshing, combining, baling, chopping, plowing. We're going to have a local club from Sussex, Wisconsin, set up a interactive kids area. We're going to have it's called the Umba Blacksmith Association. They're going to be there demonstrating blacksmithing, as that traces back to John Deere's roots. That's what made John Deere famous when he made his plow back in 1837. We're going to have tractor dinos there, daily seminars, daily parades. We're going to have a youth driving course where you can drive a garden tractor to get your Classic Green driver's license. If you haven't driven a tractor or you haven't driven a tractor for quite a while, you grew up on a Johnny Popper, come to our show. You can drive a tractor at the show. We're going to have a trivia night and a Wisconsin fish fry on Friday night. We're super excited to have the Washington County Dairy Promotions bring their Washington County Dairy Breakfast to our show Saturday morning of our show on the 14th. Super excited for that. And with that, they're teaming up with a local farmer that's less than a half a mile away, and they're going to have tours of that traditional Wisconsin dairy farm. So for everybody from Wisconsin, that's maybe a given, but again, we've got members coming in from all of the United States, Canada, and around the world, so they're going to be super excited to come to Wisconsin to see a traditional dairy farm, what we've been known for. We're also going to be doing bus tours leaving the show. One tour is going to be going to the famous Keller collection, tractor collection. That's just an unbelievable John Deere tractor collection up at Brilliant, Wisconsin. That's going to be Thursday and Friday, and people are going to have to pre-register for that to book their seat on a bus. We're also going to have bus tours to the John Deere Horicon Works leaving the West Bend showgrounds on Saturday, and that you'll have to pre-register for also.
Dan, this is not your average tractor show. You have such a wide array of offerings, even if you just like food. I'm so impressed with the dairy breakfast experience, the fish fry experience. Why were some of those traditional Wisconsin elements tied into this show?
Classic Green, as we take our show to different areas of the United States currently, as we bring a show to different geographical areas, we want to try to figure out what makes Wisconsin great, what makes Wisconsin special. And, you know, one of the big things in our area, everybody in Wisconsin on Saturdays and Sundays in June, we're all partaking in dairy breakfast. So that's one thing we were very passionate about, wanting to include a dairy breakfast for everybody that's coming in from outside of the area. Wisconsin was chosen because obviously we're a great state. People are super friendly, and everybody's looking forward to bringing the Classic Green Reunion to Wisconsin.
Dan, I remember some fond memories of walking through tractor collections or going to tractor shows with my dad, my grandpa. It was special to me for their eyes to light up and explain to me how this machinery was used when they were on the farm, because it doesn't look quite like that today.
You know, it's really about preserving our heritage and reminding us where our family's roots have come from. For a lot of people, it's about connecting, their family history to where they've been and how far they've come.
When has this show come to Wisconsin in the past, or is this the first time?
So Classic Green is a relatively new organization. It started in 2018 by a group of friends of mine from across the United States. We actually had our first show in 2019, way out in Grand Island, Nebraska. In 21, we were in Columbus, Ohio. Last year, we were in just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So this is relatively a new group. We do a show every 2 years, and this show has never come to Wisconsin. So we're hoping to bring the show to Wisconsin and allow everybody to witness the great Classic Green experience.
And again, you are co-chairing the planning or organizing committee for this Classic Green reunion. How many hands are involved in planning this type of event?
Stephanie, we've got roughly 50 people that make up our planning committee for this show. We're looking at 400 to 450 volunteers. And yeah, it's a great collaborative group effort that's bringing this together. And we're looking forward to making it a memorable event for families across the Midwest and everybody that attends.
You have partnered with the city of West Bend and Washington County. How have they received this event? How have they embraced this Classic Green reunion coming to town?
They have been super excited for the extra revenue that's going to add to the West Bend community and West Bend area. Super happy about all the hotel rooms that are going to be booked, all the gas stations, the restaurants, gift shops, grocery stores, and more that we're going to be contributing to while we're in the area in roughly the week that we're there.
The Classic Green Reunion coming to West Bend June 12th through the 14th. So much to look forward to for the whole family. Kids zones, educational seminars, tractor driving, or just walking down memory lane with some of the memorabilia tracing all the way back to when John Deere started in 1837. Event co-chair Dan Gooden joining us. He says you can be a part of the fun and secure the tickets you need for some of those activities by visiting classicgreen.org. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But did you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Sean O'Malley has our weekly look at your money and the markets, and we'll talk about the real story on finding and fighting fraud.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
4 tenths, Linda by Reeseville, 2 tenths, about a tenth from Butch by Alto, 2 tenths, Rocky by Techita. So some folks not reporting a whole lot of rain, but you said that can differ depending on where you are.
that changed a little bit. I mean, you mentioned it, Brownsville, 4/10. I'm pretty close there. I've got 3,500. Milwaukee at 4,900. My friend John Armstrong, 1/4 inch. And it got a lot lighter beyond that. I mean, 2,700 of an inch at La Crosse, 900 at Madison, Eau Claire, a whole 10th.
Okay.
Where was the big one? Green Bay, 1,300.
Okay. So like you said, we're looking at a 1/2 inch about as much as we could wring out of this last system, which is, it's still to a large extent going into the ground. Do we have more on the way, though?
There is still some rain. I mean, we look to the northern part of the state, Green Bay to Wausau, almost to the Twin Cities, a little heavier in far northeast Wisconsin. Not a lot of rain, but there's some light rain falling up there today, and the rain chance isn't out of the picture yet. I mean, even though low pressure's moved off to our east, and I do expect that we'll see a little rain that tries to linger yet for a time today, even late afternoon or evening. But there'll be a cool front dropping through out of the northwest for Friday, and that could lead to some rain. And there's some talk, a small possibility of some thunderstorms and possibly heavier rain in eastern Wisconsin, the Fox Valley and south. I don't expect that's going to turn out to be a whole lot, but we'll keep an eye on it. But there will be a little more rain yet to wrap up the week, especially in the east. And then we start to dry it out somewhat. And maybe the bigger news for the weekend, those temperatures will be moderating. They will be warming up. And I expect that we're going to start talking about 80s. And that's certainly going to be around here once we get next week underway. Daytime highs up into the mid and even upper 80s going to seem very, very summery, adding that steamy feeling to things. Yes, that's exactly what our young crops want to see. That warmth is going to push a lot of growth. And after the rain we've seen, it should be able to grow and keep right on going. So that's probably going to work out to our advantage. I do hear a little rumble that there could be some rain around mid part of next week. And there's some talk further north of what could be even heavier rain toward the end of the week. We'll watch this all develop, but keep in mind there will be some rain at least mid part of next week. If you try to get some hay made, we may have some chance for that once we get to the weekend, when that cool front drops through out of the northwest. So we still have a couple of chances of rain around. Not going to be any big deals, not big flooding rains or anything like that. But there's still some moisture around here heading to the end of the week. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean label that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping. They told me they're working on a bacon recipe now, so look forward to that. All right, Stu, what do we have to look forward to? Another 6/10 just came in on the talk text line from Kenosha.
That would sound about right. So, yeah, there it is. We're getting more rain. It was heavier in the east and southeast. And the word's going to be today that we still have a little rain chance, especially in the north this morning. Could be a possibility further south this afternoon. Isolated showers, maybe a rumble of thunder. Could be a 1/10 of an inch of rain if we get that much out of it. Otherwise, I don't expect too bad of a day in store. Temps ought to be in the very upper 60s and low 70s today. Sounds all right. Winds become northwest about 5. Still a small chance of a little shower or storm activity this evening. Mostly cloudy. We cool it down, upper 40s and low 50s. West winds at 5. Tomorrow, well, that cool front tries dropping in. Mostly sunny. That sounds great, but the chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm, pretty small chance in the west, a greater possibility east. Temps tomorrow in the upper 70s, maybe some low 80s in the west. The northwest winds getting stronger, 5 to 15, even gusting. That rain chance Friday night. And then by Saturday, Pam, I expect we talk about some sunshine, a very slight rain chance east and south Saturday afternoon. and temps still in the upper 70s. And that's where the 80s start climbing in after that. And it will be drier as we get next week underway.
All right. Yeah. And this is turning in to be just exactly what the insects are looking for. I got a update on that from Dr. Sean Conley. Army worm and cutworm really showing up in, well, threshold populations in Dane and Rock County. So they'll probably likely spread elsewhere, too, with this kind of weather.
Yeah, not good news. Don't need that.
No, don't need that at all. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. I'll have more rainfall updates for you then, okay?
All right, see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing you all the weather details you need so far on a Thursday morning. Talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit UWBadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal court has blocked most of the tariffs that President Trump imposed under an emergency powers law. The three-judge Court of International Trade ruling that the tariffs far exceed Trump's authority, the White House is appealing. The richest man in the world is no longer a part of the Trump government.
Elon Musk leaving the Trump administration after pushing back on President Trump's latest signature legislation, a multi-trillion dollar spending package that the tech mogul says contradicts their own goal of the Department of Government efficiency, reducing the federal government size.
ABC's Zorin Shaw. The Trump government says it will move to revoke the visas of students with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, but does not go into detail explaining what those ties are or how that's being proven. The search still on in Arkansas for Grant Hardin, the police chief turned rapist and murderer who last Sunday walked out of prison. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tom Cruise thanked moviegoers and studios alike, especially Paramount Pictures, for what the actor called their unwavering support for the 8th installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, and its biggest opening yet. I don't think that's ever happened. It's a good sign for the franchise and the studio, as the price tag for the film is $400 million. Think about that. The 8th movie in the franchise is one of the most expensive ever made, and it's going to turn a profit very quickly. Speaking of Cruise, the actor says he hopes to make movies into his hundreds. That includes action. That should be interesting. We won't have to wait long, though, to see him in his next action role. The Mission Impossible star told the Australian Today Show that Top Gun 3 is happening. Cruise is 62 years old currently, and I'm guessing those stunts will be a little bit harder to pull off at 102. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers are on a roll. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series on the road tomorrow night against the Phillies, the team with the best record in the National League. But Milwaukee's on a roll. They swept the Red Sox with a dramatic 6-5 win yesterday, thanks to Caleb Durbin driving in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th.
We're scrapping and we're battling, and you've seen it this whole series, but especially the last two games going into extra innings. Like, you could feel that we never thought we were going to lose.
Golf, the U.S. Women's Open underway in Wisconsin at Erin Hills. NFL, the Packers announced training camp begins July 23rd with family night Saturday, August 2nd. Quarterback Jordan Love asked how much did that MCL sprain in his left knee affect him last season.
I mean, there might be some things here and there that might have been affected by the injury, but I'm never going to, you know, put anything on an injury. You know, I'm going out there, and if I'm healthy enough to go, you know, I'm trying to give my best and be the best player I can be out there, and I always hold myself to a high standard.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Donald Trump says no tax on tips. Sounds like a good deal? It's not. I discuss with Chef Greg Leon next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad-looking Thursday with partly sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s. A spotty shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. For tonight, mostly clear skies with a low near 53. Warmer on Friday with lots of sunshine, a high of 81. Currently, it's 52.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report from Georgia, we told you about voters contesting a mass voter eligibility challenge by election group True the Vote. In another 11th Circuit courtroom that same week, a group of black voters challenged the voting districts for Metro Atlanta. The Georgia Recorder reports that a judge ruled in 2021 that after the 2020 U.S. Census, the Georgia legislature failed to account for the growth of black voters in Metro Atlanta and needed to include additional majority-minority congressional, state House, and state Senate districts. The current suit before a three-judge appeals panel contends that the court-ordered maps drawn by the legislature in 2023 may not have met the judge's requirements and instead kept the status quo. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's brief contends that the Voting Rights Act Section 2 should no longer be in use. He argues that the plaintiffs must prove that the motivation for the maps was racial discrimination, not legal under the federal VRA, and not for partisan political reasons, which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is inherently a state issue. Anti-voter arguments citing the Equal Protection Clause and it was political, not racial gerrymandering, are increasing in an effort to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. Expect an opinion in the case in the coming months. We have more on the long history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Birds, we expect them, I think we all expect them to be back to at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin dairy farmers and our processors getting ready for some changes in how they get paid or are paying. The federal milk marketing orders are being revised beginning in June, and that's kind of changing up some of the markets that you'll hear us reporting on the Midwest Farm Report, and it's kind of changing up some of the buying patterns. We're going to find out about it this morning with Ryan Yonkman. He's one of the vice presidents of EverAg. He'll be joining us live in about 15 minutes. So glad you're along with us. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke on this, the 29th day of May. Let's see. Did you know on this day in 1942, Bing Crosby recorded the song White Christmas? It was his rendition of Irving Berlin's song that became the most successful of his career and the best-selling Christmas single in history. Bing Crosby records White Christmas on this day, 1942. On this day, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay finally conquer Mount Everest. That was the first successful ascent of the world's highest mountain. And it actually happened about 3 days after two other expeditions tried to climb Mount Everest, and they got within 100 meters before they failed. So it's all about the final inches, isn't it? Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay conquer Mount Everest on this day back in 1953. Happy birthday this morning to actress Annette Bening. She is 67. Former NBA basketball player that's now going to be inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame as a player and as a member of the Olympic basketball team. Carmelo Anthony turns 41 today, already retired, and now you know. Well, we know that the school year is coming to a close across the state of Wisconsin, and well, some teachers are happy to be packing up their books, their briefcases, and heading for the door. Other teachers are going to continue to serve their community. Charity Seebecker joins us this morning with details about a program that's influencing the families on the Menominee Indian Reservation and how they hope what happens in the classroom spreads goodwill and product to the community.
Christine Fossen Raddis, a teacher at Menominee Indian School District, is sparking something powerful in her classroom. Curiosity, connection, and a deep respect for tradition. What started with students making tea has quietly grown into a much larger movement, one driven by a simple question and a strong desire to be more self-reliant. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and these students are taking the lead, planting the seeds, literally and figuratively, for a project that ties together culture, community, and sustainability. Raddis shares more about how their medicinal garden project came together and what it means for the school and community.
Basically, this garden is going to serve as a foundation for creating different materials such as teas, balms, bundles, salves, and these will be shared within the school and the broader Menominee community. Basically, our main goal is to honor cultural traditions, promote sustainable practices, and foster intergenerational connections by supporting things like elder boxes in our community. These are distributed monthly with different types of food for the elders, and putting some of our medicinal materials in there would be a really great addition. Basically, the project aims to strengthen our connection and the students' connection to Menominee cultural heritage while building basic skills that they can use throughout their lives.
And so how are students getting hands-on with this project?
Students are 100% behind this. They were the ones who determined which plants we were going to have, which medicines we were going to grow, other sacred plants that are important to cultural reasons. So we're growing such things as cedar, sage, tobacco, bergamot, mullein, mint, echinacea, chamomile, lavender. That's just to name a few. So we've got quite a plant list going that the kids put together. So it's basically a student-led design. They did the research. They are going to participate in educating the community and other school members about the garden. They're helping with the building phase. So the kids are going to be helping with site preparation. We're going to have signage out there and obviously planting, watering. We're going to get as much of this done as we can. And then maintenance phase. The kids are going to be responsible for ongoing care, weeding, mulching, and also with the harvesting and the processing, which I think is probably one of the more important parts, to follow cultural practices while we're gathering the medicines and preparing them, drying them, and making the different materials. All in all, this is completely a student-led process.
Once again, that's Christine Fossen-Bradis, a teacher at Menominee Indian School District, along with us. As students get their hands in the soil, they're also growing a deeper understanding of their heritage and the role they play in keeping it alive, as the garden becomes a living classroom, one that nurtures both plants and purpose. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg, joining us to talk about the dairy markets in just a moment. Boy, congratulations to the folks with the Midwest Horse Fair. Of course, that big event happened back April 11th through the 13th, and we're finding out it was a record breaker in some areas. According to the Midwest Horse Fair, they say on Saturday of their 44th annual event, over 25,000 fairgoers were in attendance. That's a record breaker. It totaled up for more than 60,000 that visited the event through the course of the weekend. They hosted 37 breed and discipline groups, 800 horses, and 37 stallions. They also featured 400 exhibitors and 35 very talented clinicians, as well as entertainers. Congratulations again to the Midwest Horse Fair for a fantastic event. And make sure that you're thinking about next year's event. The theme will be 45 years of making memories, and the dates April 17th through the 19th, 2026. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning trying to gain back some of the ground that they lost late yesterday. Dow Jones Industrial Average surging right now, up more than 400 points. July corn, though, is down a penny. December new crop down a penny, 443. July soybeans are up 3. November new crop up 3.25 right now, 1041. July wheat, that's basically unchanged at 5:30. In the dairy complex yesterday, the barrel cheese unchanged at 186.5. Remember, as of the beginning of June, we will no longer be trading the barrel cheese. That's part of the federal milk marketing order changes going into effect. More on that with Ryan Yonkman in just a moment. The 40-pound block cheese yesterday gained 3 cents to 195. The AA butter was up a half a cent at 252.5 per pound. June class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's down a penny at 1934. The July milk currently unchanged at 1993 a hundredweight. There are all kinds of alerts going out from our agronomy specialist in Wisconsin. The bugs have arrived. Dr. Sean Connolly, University Extension soybean specialist, posted a video yesterday on a new website that they've collaborated on. BadgerCropNetwork.com. BadgerCropNetwork.com. Phone calls coming in from across the state about the number of cutworm and armyworm activities that are being reported, specifically in Rock and Green County, but they're sure to be out there in a lot of different spots. So the advice now is for farms to head out and take a look at your corn, your small grain, your forages, and even planted green soybeans. Because according to Conley, some of these insects are apparently so desperate already for feed that they're foraging in soybeans. Again, that website, BadgerCropNetwork.com. When farmers are called on to try to protect their crops, it may involve the use of things like pesticides, but doing it carefully, absolutely critical. Jordan Campa is the interim manager of Wisconsin's Pesticide Applicator Training, and she just reminds farmers, think and stay focused on the project you're undertaking.
I know that farmers are out there traveling around with pesticides in their vehicles. And so in trainings, we do like to talk about how to transport pesticides and making sure that people are not putting the pesticide containers with active ingredient in the cab with them, keeping those pesticides away from them. But then also thinking through, if you're going to be out applying a product and you're not going to be close to running water, have a jug of water with you in case you get something spilt on you so that you have the capacity to clean yourself off right away so that it's not festering and you're not going to have to go out and seek medical attention.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Campa, the interim manager of Wisconsin's Pesticide Applicator Training. Like she said, just try to stay focused, use common sense, and always make sure you got that extra jug of water along with you to protect yourself and the environment. Up next, markets. That's what we're focused on with Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg. He joins us live next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, several judges ruling against the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here to break that down. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot and sports in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Tariffs. Where are you concentrating your focus? I mean, it's kind of hard right now to find a bad story, at least on the short term for dairy, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really,
been pretty incredible. You look back and it's, here it's almost June. We've gotten through, in theory, usually the toughest 5 months of the year. And it really hasn't been that bad, to your point. We made a kind of an early low in March, and here just a short month ago, things felt pretty dire when we're in the middle of, what looked like potentially a trade war and U.S. milk was coming online. You put some of the tariff stuff away. European milk production remains tight. European prices remain elevated. And next thing you know, we've got U.S. milk off its floor of $16.50 and trading all the way back up at $20. So we've had a significant $3 rally here over the last, I'd say, 6 weeks. And it has been primarily driven by international price strength and our ability to get exports booked, as we were the cheapest game in town and against a weaker dollar.
Has anything changed that way? I mean, the tariff situation and conversations ever changing. But when it comes to dairy, we made all those fast sales. What about now that many of those sales have maybe been executed or are in process? From this point forward, what are you thinking?
Yeah, and I would say that's where the risk or the fear lies as we look in the back half. The fact that we just rallied as fast and hard as we did off the lows does have us concerned that we don't have big back half exports booked. And if you look at the July to D's curve, you've got cheese trading around $2 a pound. Europe is trading currently about $2.20. That spread historically is a little tighter than normal in regards to, hey, we're going to get business done. Now, the EU is short, and maybe that's enough to get it done. But from what we're hearing, this spread right now is tightened enough to where I think exports get difficult. So I'd say our concerns do lie from here forward. We were able to export ourselves up here. We need those exports. So I would be a little concerned with U.S. milk on the rise, U.S. demand still really not looking good, that we could have a little bit of a head fake going into Q3, and maybe need to put ourselves in a better position to get another round of big exports booked to close up the year.
Ryan Yonkman joining us live this morning. He's co-founder, vice president of EverAg. I want to remind you about their website before I forget. That's ever.ag, ever.ag. Didn't mean to cut you off, Ryan, but I want to get that plug in there because there is risk to be managed for sure when it comes to dairy. Talk to me a little bit. We mentioned the international scene. What about domestic consumption? You got a cold storage report last week that may give us some indication on what's going on.
Yeah, we did. And from all accounts, domestic demand, from what we see in some of this, retail and food service data, retail is doing okay. Food service is still really struggling. Pizza has been really struggling. We've seen the fast food chains not turn out good data. I think Taco Bell was about the only one that posted growth. But going to the cold storage report, cheese grew, but a little less than average on a month-to-month basis. And we do think that is telling on the export story. The big takeaway from the cold storage last week was butter. We've been hearing about the idea of big butter exports internationally. We've got to remember international butter is 82% fat, unsalted. So for us to make that switch, you really, really need a firm order. And the butter spread has been wide enough that indeed we are seeing big U.S. butter exports leave the country. Butter stocks drew down counter seasonal. Since then, we've seen butter rally about 40 cents or 30 cents on the board. And that was really the biggest story coming out of that report, which does help the class three market, believe it or not.
Yeah. I'll take it. Now, speaking of class three, again, remember, class three, when we use that phrase, folks, that is what our Wisconsin dairy farmers, to a large extent, are being paid on, that particular price. But starting next week, a lot of that methodology changes, doesn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, so the federal order reform, which hopefully at this point most are aware of, or even if you're not, it is what it is. It's how we're going to get paid. But the basic breakdown is starting June, there's really two big changes that matter for us. Class one is moving back to the higher of, so whichever's higher, three or four, is what we'll get paid off of. But two, they increase the make allowance, and that'll probably be the biggest, most obvious change. The make allowance for classroom four went up about 85 to 90 cents a hundredweight. The key here for the listeners is that is already priced into the marketplace. So when you look at July class three trading at almost $20, there's not another 85 cents coming out of that. The market has already readjusted. It knows the math. The prices we see are the prices we will get. And that is the big thing that has happened. Hopefully that'll help these plants get done what they need to, invest in whatsoever. But that's the big change. And that does start in our June milk check.
Ryan Yonkman, again, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report, co-founder and vice president of EverAg, their website, ever.com. Ag. Quick look at milk production trends you're seeing out there, Ryan, because that also can impact us beyond second quarter. Anybody bursting at the seams? Any weather-related challenges? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so one, lay of the land, U.S. is up about 1.5%. California, not fully recovered from avian yet. They were still slightly down last report. There's some reports coming out of there. There's going to be some holes in milk production as we walk in the next few months, as guys kind of had to heavily beef their way through avian. So that'll be an interesting watch factor. I'd say move yourself to the east. I'm hearing about quiet growth throughout the Midwest and in the Northeast. So I do think we can continue to see that. Again, we know the margin outlook is good. So I do think guys can afford to. That said, we know heifers are tight and we know those little black calves are worth a lot. So I don't think we can just turn the spigot on real fast in any major way. Flipping overseas, again, the key to this whole thing right now is Europe is still short. And as long as they're still short, it seems to be really the tide that's raising all boats here, even though we've got a weak domestic situation going on.
You absolutely rock, my friend. I appreciate it. Ryan Yonkman joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report, getting you ahead of the trade. He is vice president, co-founder of EverAg. We lean on them big time when it comes to dairy-related news. You can, too. Pop on over to their website, ever.ag. Again, Ryan Yonkman joining us live this morning. We appreciate him. We appreciate you joining us. Don't forget, the talk text line still open, 877-301-FARM. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
The good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to food. Next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers.
We spend about $1 trillion on food in this country every year, and then we spend about $1 trillion on the poor health impacts of that food that we've eaten.
That's Devin Clatell of the Rockefeller Foundation, who adds that the U.S. spends more on health care every year than any large, wealthy country in the world, yet has the worst health outcomes per capita.
Not only is diet a driver of poor health in this country, but it's also a tremendous driver of healthcare costs. So it turns out that we're quite good at paying for healthcare, but not particularly good at buying positive health outcomes.
Clatell says the problem, unfortunately, is greatest in the communities that can least afford it.
The burden of poor diet is not shared equally amongst different communities here in the United States. We know that certain communities suffer disproportionately from the health effects of poor diet. And those include rural communities, seniors, veterans, communities of color, and low-income households. And so those are many of the communities that we focus our work on.
The Rockefeller Foundation has partnered with organizations like the American Heart Association, the Veterans Health Administration, and others to fund food as medicine initiatives. There's still some hope of a turnaround, and I'll share that tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, TV producer Mary Picorni Donlin makes the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kapeski from Appleton Cigar joins me in studio. Then author Laura Enright joins to talk vampires.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The International Court of Trade blocking many of President Trump's tariffs on foreign goods. A federal court saying the president overstepped his authority.
The administration says they were operating under this Emergency National Security Act, and the court says, no, you aren't, that the National Security Act was not built for something like this. It's really Congress's authority to give it to you, and you don't have it yet.
National security law and policy expert Ryan Goodman, the Trump administration quickly moving to appeal. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. will immediately begin revoking the visas of some Chinese students. China, the second largest country of origin for international students in the United States, behind only India. Elon Musk leaving his government role. He claimed he could cut $2 trillion from federal spending. That was quickly reduced to $1 trillion, then to $150 billion. Musk also criticizing the president's spending plan currently being debated in the Senate. This is ABC News.
You can always